Well, I want to welcome everyone in worship today, both those of you here in the sanctuary who braved the weather to be here, and others of you who are joining us online. And we love our online option because if you've needed to stay safe at home, that's great. We want to welcome everybody. And back in the day when I played sports, I really enjoyed, I don't know about you, I enjoyed being on a team. Something about being on a team was just really exciting to me. You know, you're working together, you got the camaraderie, you got the common purpose, you're trying to usually we're trying to win games, and I just loved it. In fact, that was really my rhythm all through elementary school and junior high and high school. I played baseball in the summer, and then we would play football in the fall, and then we'd play basketball in the wintertime, and then if I was really up for it, I'd run track. And so I was always, I was in this team experience. But after high school, that part of my life seemed over because I realized, I'm not very big and I'm not all that talented. I'm not really going to be able to take this experience to the next level. But then something that I hadn't counted on happened. In college, I caught a glimpse of another team experience that I really hadn't kind of zeroed in on before. I caught a vision of the church of Jesus Christ and what it might mean to be on His team. Man! So that intrigued me. That really began to appeal to me. So I said to myself, all right, let's think about this. Jesus is the Son of God who wants to relate to me. He is the one who came to redeem the world, to transform the world, to save the world, and the church was the team that He established to be His hands, His feet, His voice, to continue to carry the message of the good news forward into the world. His kingdom, His love. And I thought, man, that is an exciting team. I really got caught up in it. In fact, when I was entering college, I had said to myself, I'm going to get a degree in business, and when I get out, I'm just going to go out and make a lot of money. That's what I want to do. That was my vision. But 4 years later, I realized God had done a new thing in my heart, and I said, I'm going to take this business degree. I'll have a job doing something. But what I really have gotten captivated about is this kingdom of God stuff and this team that Jesus has established that I can be on. Because I said, there are a lot of problems in the world. Even when I was in college, I look out and I say, man, there's suffering. There's heartache. There's a lot of injustice. People experience all kinds of pain, and I thought, What I'm discovering is that Jesus is the one who can change a heart. He can come through faith in what He has done by the power of His Spirit and enter into a person's heart and begin to transform them, begin to change them. And I thought, if God, through faith in Jesus, could be doing that one heart at a time, over time. I mean, you're talking about something that can change the world. And so that really got a hold of me. And, I was counting the other day, 41 years later now, I've realized I'm still as fired up and captured by that dream as ever. So our text from today, today from the book of Ephesians, reminds us that we have a high calling on a special team, and our calling is following Jesus. It was He Himself who said in Matthew 16:24, if anyone would come after Me, let them deny themselves, take up their own cross, and follow Me. Jesus knew that following Him would not always be easy. Hello? That it would perhaps stretch us at times, stretch us to the limits, stretch us in ways that we didn't know that we could stretch. And it would probably end up costing us and calling for, you know, everything that we've got. Paul says this in Ephesians 4:1. He says, as a what? So Paul, he gets fired up about the team. He says, you know, I'm the vision, and he says, I'm on the team, and it ends him up in prison. Not once, but multiple times. Paul, over his life, realized, I'm fired up about this thing, and I want to see God continue to change lives, but it's not going to be without cost. It's not going to be without struggle. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. So he's talking about our high calling on the team, to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, to walk where he walked, to do what he did, to live like he lived. So how do we live out this high calling? Are there some principles that can help us? Are there some steps that we can take? Paul, from this letter to the Ephesians, has some great ideas. First of all, if we're going to live out this high calling, we should lead with humility and grace. Lead with humility and grace. Paul says to the Ephesians, he says, and he says it to us as well in Ephesians 2:2, be completely humble and gentle. Be completely humble and gentle. And why does he say that? Because Jesus led with humility and gentleness, grace. You remember, Jesus was never all puffed up as a leader. He never went around, you know, beating his chest and saying, look at me. He was humble and gentle as a leader. Remember, he came to Jerusalem, last week of his life, humble, riding on a donkey. So we follow Jesus. And in our lives, as we have the opportunity to lead, as we have the opportunity to influence, we do that with humility and grace. We never should find ourselves puffed up or proud, arrogant as we lead. What else can we do to live out this high calling? We can serve with patience and love. Patience and love. Paul says simply in Ephesians 2:2, let's read it together. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. So at times in our lives, we have disagreements. Hello? We have disagreements in our families. We have disagreements in relationships. Anybody ever have a disagreement at school? Does it happen at school too? Disagreements with friends? It happens there. It happens at work. Get this, it can even happen at the church. Disagreements. Hello? It happens. And in those times, we need extra grace and patience and love. And Paul knew about this problem. He knew we're prone to this, that we're going to have times when there are disagreements. But he also knew about the solution. And again, Jesus has shown us the way. Remember how his disciples, they were always messing it up and getting it wrong. So remember, they were saying, hey, Jesus, who's the greatest? You know, who's the greatest? Is it me? You think it's going to be? And then other times they would say, no, Jesus, you are not going to Jerusalem. You are not going to be killed there. That is not going to happen. Quit talking like that. And then other times they said, Jesus, are we there yet? Are we there yet? You know, I mean, is the kingdom, is it going to come? Is it here? You know, are we there yet? And he regularly was having to shake his head and, you know, say, maybe I need another group. Maybe I should start all over again. But no, he never gave up on his disciples. He kept pouring his life into them. And look what God eventually did through them. We serve with patience and love. How else can we live out this high calling as we're on this, you know, Jesus team? I would say this, we can work toward unity. One of the most powerful things in any endeavor is unity. You know, if there is unity in a marriage, look out. If there is unity in a business, man, that thing is prime. If there is unity on a team of whatever you're doing, boy, things are in game change mode. In a church, if there is unity, it is amazing what can happen. Ephesians 4:3, Paul says, so make every effort, let's read it together. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. This is part of our high calling, and one of the things that I celebrate about Christ Church is I think we have a great spirit of unity around our common mission, and it has really helped us to do some amazing things together, and it's just been exciting to celebrate that. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So this specially called General Conference this past week was an effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So there was much prayer that went on beforehand. And again, I thank you for you entering into prayer as we were heading toward the General Conference. There was prayer beforehand. There was prayer during the conference. They had this area that you could go to there, and there were all kinds of ways that you could be engaging in prayer, and I love that. There was worship throughout the conference. Man, they had a band that would kick it up in between different things that were going on, and it was really great. So there was a lot of prayer, a lot of that went on beforehand. So the committee on the way forward, its report that had it brought to this special conference, it included two main ideas. In the end, two main ideas. One centered around keeping a traditional understanding around the issues of human sexuality, and another idea was to allow churches and conferences more freedom to adapt to their context as they saw fit. So we have this legislative process. Delegates come from all over the world, and it's kind of amazing. It's kind of like our Congress in that, it's majority rules. So you get, over 50% on any one issue, and then that is the will of the body. That's where we'll go. So on this particular issue, as we're focusing on it and as we're talking about it, different people getting up, and in the end, our legislative delegates chose to keep the traditional understanding with roughly a 55-45 split. So those numbers really show how deeply divided good people in the church have been about this issue. Now, here's what I observed while I'm there too. There were really no villains there. The only villains that I saw were the people from Westboro Baptist Church who were outside, and they were protesting. And for them, it's a pretty hateful thing what they do. I would say I didn't appreciate their spirit, but everybody else in the room, good spirit. These are good, faithful disciples who are coming to the issue, and they are coming with it in faith in the way that they think is going to be right, but with different interpretations of the Scripture. And so a lot of passion, a lot of conviction, but in the end, the vote came down as it did. And you could imagine that, well, the truth is, I didn't feel like anybody could say, there's a great celebration today. There wasn't any celebrating in the room. Because we realized, though 55% of the body feels this way, a significant number of the reflection of the body feels differently, and there is a lot of pain in that. There's sorrow. There's heartache. Our bishop, James Nunn, he sent a general report about the conference, and he acknowledged that, you know, there are still some questions to be answered. There's a question about the constitutionality of some of the pieces of the plan that did get passed. So there's a Supreme Court in our system called the Judicial Council, and they're going to meet in April and kind of take that up and say, well, this was passed, but are there some things about it that really don't line up with the rest of our Book of Discipline? And so we may have to look at that. We'll hear about that after Easter in April. But he also sent a pastoral letter acknowledging that there are many people in our churches who are hurting. And both of the letters are on the website. If you have wanted to go, you can find them there. You can also go to the conference website. But I would say Bishop Nunn is right. There are no winners in this. What I observe is people who, on all sides, who find themselves saddened and hurting and grieving. You know, when the scripture says, when one part of the body of Christ is hurting, we all are impacted by that. So what is going to be our way forward from here? How do we find a way to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace? You know, there's a real questions out there. Can we still worship together? Can we study together? Can we do mission together? Can we still love one another even if we have different perspectives, different understandings? How do we find a way forward from here? And I would say, as I've thought about it, I'd say these things. First of all, I'd suggest that we got to look to Jesus. He's the one, again, who's our example. He's the one who can show us the way. He is the one who came into the world full of grace and truth. He is the one who understands that all persons are people of sacred worth, created in the image of God and in need of ministry. He is the one who reaches out to all people with the good news of God's redemptive and salvific love. He is the one who died for all. He is the one that we can look to as we continue to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and find ways to love all of our neighbors as we love ourselves. We look to Jesus. What else can we do? We can extend love and grace to all people. Once again, we see that Jesus, he's our example. He led with love and grace. He is the unique Son of God who came into the world to show all people God's love. Not just those like us, but all people all around the world. This unconditional love of God. You know, at Christ Church, we have been a Good Samaritan church all these years. I've loved that description of who we are. Extending a gracious hand of care and ministry, like the Good Samaritan in Jesus' parable, to any person who comes in need. And all of us have the same basic needs, don't we? For love and acceptance, for forgiveness, for saving grace. And here's the thing, we don't check one another's sin cards at the door. Hello? We don't check one another's sin cards. What we understand is we all got them. Yeah? We all got them. And therefore, we all stand in need of God's mercy and grace, and we offer it freely to all because Jesus provided it for all. What else can we do to find our way forward? I would say we find common ground in Jesus and his mission. Again, he is the one who can help us. So for any and all of our differences that we have with one another or others, and we have them about this issue, about perhaps other issues, we can come together around our love and our devotion to Jesus. His life, his death, his resurrection brings God's grace and love and power into our lives. He's the one. He is the one who can touch us, who can forgive us, who can transform us and make us more like him. If we're going to find our way forward in any circumstance, I have always tried to say to myself, Bob, you need to try to stay close to Jesus. If you will stay close to Jesus, he is the one who will help you forward. He's the one who loved all of us enough to die in our place in order that we might be free from all of our shortcomings, our sins.